Blog Talk Radio.
Acts of injustice by our courts and traitors' deceptions by our government.
as American corporations push harder for greater profits and influence, while American government shrugs in indifference and corruption, and allow corporate CEOs to steal American wealth and jobs for profits to other countries. Fascism has infested the depth and breadth of U.S. society as we lose our premier standing in the world. Nothing has changed in over 200 years of government. Individual and corporate deception and unbridled greed continue to murder and destroy countless innocent lives that go to war to defend a selfish, foolish, consumer-driven society. The power of corporations and the banking elite has taken over our society and government, our media, schools, and brainwashed and stolen the mind and soul of every American into believing a completely false reality void of any meaning other than that of immediate self-gratification and a belief in the xenophobic delusion of the U.S., the greatest country in the world, with the greatest people. Perhaps it's a fool's dream or a preacher's promise of a good life to all who would steal from and kill innocent men, women, and children, destroy entire civilizations, enslave other races, create more deadly weapons of mass destruction, colonize and steal resources from weaker countries, manipulate the entire world economy and plunder the world's oceans for oil and polluting the entire planet for our own incessant greed-driven ambitions. The time has come for this to stop. Nature can no longer tolerate the indifference of mankind to its existence. Karma exists, and we are witnessing its devastating effects every minute of our lives on our physical health and mental well-being. Our destruction of our planet by war, consumption, and pollution will soon lead to the end of human civilization as we know it. As the human population contemplates the true possibility of end-time prophecies of its ancestors and the warnings of past societies, we are forced to face our own demise, as countless other great civilizations have, that have been lost to human history. One of America's greatest radicals, Saul Alinsky, stated in his classic work, Rule for Radicals, published in 1971, he states, "The human cry of the Second Revolution is one of a meaning and a purpose for life, a cause to live for, and if need be, to die for." Tom Paine's words, "These are the times that try men's souls," are more relevant to part two of the American Revolution than the beginning. This is literally the revolution of the soul, the great American dream that reached out to the stars as it had been lost to the stripes. We have forgotten where we came from. We don't know where we are, and we fear where we may be going. Afraid we turn from the glorious adventure of the pursuit of happiness to the pursuit of an illusionary security in an ordered, stratified, striped society. Our way of life is symbolized by the world by stripes of military force. At home we have made a mockery of our being, of being our brother's keeper by being his jail keeper. When Americans can no longer see the stars, the times are tragic. We must believe that it is the darkness before the dawn of a beautiful new world. We will see it when we believe it. That new world Alinsky speaks of is here and now. The globalist architect of the new world order, Zbigniew Brzezinski, spoke of his fear and the fear of the global elite when he stated his warning at the 2011 Bilderberg meeting and repeated his statement on the MSNBC program Morning Joe. Brzezinski's daughter, Mika, hosts the show. He stated, "The world is going through a political awakening never before seen in history, which destabilizes all international financial systems and governments." The advent, that was his statement. The advent of the internet and social media has created an unstoppable revolution that threatens to destroy the elitist plans of world domination under one global government ruled by the banking elite. Brzezinski and all others of his ilk are realizing that humanity is undergoing an uncontrollable, universal, evolutionary change that is undermining all the best laid plans of the banking elite for global governing. Massive strikes and military insurgencies are continually reported on social networks and news websites and are happening all around the world in every country, but highly censored by the U.S. mainstream media. Countries like Iceland, who have ignored their financial debt to the global bankers and established their own national bank, are now thriving, as will all other countries that follow Iceland's lead. By these countries and others refusing to pay the unpayable debt and nationalizing their banks, they have escaped the stranglehold of the global bankers. If every country refuses to pay its usurious debt to these criminal elite, then the New World Order would collapse into worthlessness. All their power would be destroyed and their ill-gained fortunes would be worthless. The multi-trillions of dollars and euros of uncollectible loans would be the death of these monstrous institutions that have enslaved the world in debt. Ridding the U.S. from the yoke of the Federal Reserve would make Americans debt-free, and as stated in our Constitution, give us back the right to coin and issue our own national currency. Placing tariffs and tax penalties on outsourcing corporations who export U.S. jobs and import foreign workers and reduce America's wages and workforce would strengthen the American economy and put Americans back to work, forever leveling the ambitions of China and other would-be rivals to American industry. The only way to revitalize the world economy with fairness and equity is to rid the world of international bankers and financial institutions and destroy forever the global tyranny they now possess over every government, man, woman, and child for generations and centuries to come. Once we, the people of the world, see the illusion of their debt and their illegitimate claims on their liberty and sovereignty and freedom, they will overwhelmingly revolt against the elitist prison system of gold-plated iron bars and walk into the sunlight of true freedom. When the billions of people who owe money to the banking system or their own government refuse to pay, the system of debt slavery will immediately collapse. The men and women controlled by the banking elite would have no further reason to work for them, and the task of collecting money, property, or taxes from 7 billion people is impossible. The money and security once provided to the world, the people of the world, would no longer exist. Wars would end without money to pay for them. Soldiers and mercenaries would no longer have a valid reason to risk their lives or destroy their lives of others. Corporations would have no goals or visions for greater wealth because wealth as they know it would no longer exist. All who thrive on the misery, murder, and hatred of their fellow men will be unable to inflict harm. Their lives and spirits will be anathema to all who have ascended to the next level of human evolvement. Hatred would dissolve as salt in the sea. The silence of our heart would be caused by spiritual peace. All that ends begins again as spirit. The last to transcend time and space will be those who most attached to their fear. They will remain imprisoned by their illusions and useless industry. All who ascend will escape and become co-creators with the universe. Consider for a moment all the special friendships you have shared in your life. Consider the closest relationships you have had or still have with a friend or relative. As you consider these friendships, consider also why the bond might have been broken or why they may be sacred to you. This path to friendship is the same path to brotherhood. Brotherhood is a collective rather than individual consciousness. Brotherhood is an ideal state of mind that encompasses all of mankind, though it is initiated in the individual and pursued by the individual for the greater good of his own existence and that of humanity. Regardless of the conditions each of us live under, there is a bond that we have, that we all have in relationship to one another. This bond is evident when we hear of another person's hardship or another country's and cultures that exist under oppressive governments or are suffering harsh and brutal lives from starvation and hopelessness. We all understand the initial concern, shock, or uneasiness we feel when we see another person suffer. That feeling we have is the universal connection we have to all humanity. It is the pulse and flow of common blood rushing through our veins that sense danger, caution, and concern. It is a psychic and intuitive concern that haunts our daily lives, though we go about our business and conduct our affairs as best we can within the protected confines of our own knowledge and wisdom and high and moral fences that protect us from outside harm or inside threats of despair and depression or feelings of hopelessness. When we see a child in need or suffering from neglect or abuse, most people will immediately come to the aid of that child. Most people with a common thread of human concern will call the authorities and intervene to try and protect the child from further harm or abuse. Is a child so difficult or so different than an adult? Are adults not also abused or neglected or lost? Why can we not feel the same concern for an adult as we do for a child? Perhaps it is because we fear that adult. Perhaps we try to ignore and walk past a homeless or suffering person, or try not to think of them, because we are initially repulsed by their condition and fear their unpredictability or possible insanity, or prejudge their condition without knowing the circumstances that brought them to the desperate state they are in. We may say to ourselves, "But for the sake of God, go I." I have said this more than once when confronted by homeless and destitute people on the street. I have been unable at times to help them financially or emotionally, but I have said a silent prayer for them and asked the universe to grant them the peace of mind and blessing I have received in my life. The greatest gifts from the universe that I have ever received were the abilities to understand my present reality and obtain the knowledge needed to succeed in manifesting a safe and sound reality. The homeless are homeless because they cannot embrace a vision of anything other than what brought them to homelessness in the first place. Their vision could be the euphoria of drugs, the bitter memories of a spousal or child abuse, the collapse of their company or business, extended unemployment, physical or mental illness, the death of their loved ones, or loss of their family. The homeless veteran often has an overwhelming sense of shame or guilt and suffers from post-traumatic stress, having seen his friends killed or blown up in front of them, or being forced to murder another human being in war and self-defense, or they're being responsible for the callous killing of entire families, villages, towns, or cities. The karmic effect of these atrocities are immediate and crippling. The effects can render the veteran helpless, aimless, and in many cases drug dependent, or severely emotionally or physically wounded. There is an existing brotherhood. Its existence is proven by the moral and inherent desire of all men and women within the brotherhood to reconnect our bonds to one another for the greatest good of ourselves and our fellow men and women. Each step we take upon our narrow path toward achieving universal compassion and wisdom leads us to greater heights on our progressive ascension. As our individual consciousness ascends, we gradually cast off our pain and suffering, fear, or worry, because our collected knowledge and wisdom allow us to manifest a sacred reality. As we ascend to the summit of our potential as individuals, it is our duty and utmost responsibility to show others the way. Our path should not remain narrow and kept secret. It should become a highway for many to ride and walk upon. We cannot fear that too many people will follow or accept our message or our aid to them because all pathways to ascension are regulated. But brotherhood is not for all. Brotherhood is only for those who share the desire to achieve, understand and achieve the highest and best of themselves and those around them. Friendship and charity can only be given to those who will accept it. it cannot be enforced upon on someone, nor can it be appreciated by everyone unless they are ready to become a brother or sister to all others. Can a true initiate of the Brotherhood of Enlightened Beings ignore the suffering of another less fortunate than themselves? It is impossible. A truly enlightened being and member of the Eternal Brotherhood has a fraternal bond with every man, woman, and child in the world. It is the responsibility of every member of the Brotherhood to share their knowledge, wisdom, and lives with all who are seeking or struggling on the path to enlightenment. These initiates are eager and hungry for the knowledge and wisdom we can provide. These initiates are the fledglings under the care of the Brotherhood hierarchy and must be nurtured, not ignored or abused or humiliated or left in the darkness to await their release from a self-imposed prison. The Brotherhood of Man is real. It does exist. The Brotherhood is not exclusive, made up of wealthy elitists or mysterious magicians. The Brotherhood is comprised of men and women from all cultures, all economic levels, all levels of knowledge. This is the Brotherhood. If we accept apprenticeship in the Brotherhood, we become obligated to help mankind on its journey to enlightenment and allow ourselves to be taught the lessons of living and ascended masters who guide us toward the fulfillment of our destiny. There is great fear and expectation in the world today of the end time. In my research into events to take place according to the Mayan calendar, there is no reference to an end time. It states that there will be an end to time as we currently understand it. The Mayan calendar is a calendar of creation, not something used to count the days of the year. It is a tool used to understand the elements and stages of humanity's evolution throughout the eons. It claims that by the year 2012, the consciousness of humanity will reach a level never before experienced in human creation. A consciousness so profound that we will no longer be captives to our physical reality. We are speeding up in time. What took humanity billions of years to understand and develop into the tools and the accumulation of knowledge is now amazingly at our fingertips. It now literally takes only moments to acquire knowledge that once took centuries and millennia to accumulate and disseminate to the world population. The human mind has advanced to such a phenomenal degree from its prehistoric tribal cultural concepts that it can no longer be contained in the simple constructs of ancient religions, rigid philosophies, or empirical definitions of right or wrong. Humanity is accepting its vulnerability, as well as learning and creating new constructs to offset its most destructive characteristics. The massiveness of all earthly creation is to be compared to the rise and fall of the seas. What affects the seas and creates climate and geological changes immediately affects human changes. What survives understands these ebbs and flows of creation. What becomes extinct fails to adapt to inevitable local and global environmental changes. According to the Mayan calendar, the world has entered the ethics period and is merging with the galactic period. Humanity will arrive with or without war and world destruction into a higher consciousness guided by intuition and succeeding only by social, societal, and individual integrity. All who are led by greed, pettiness, and anger and need of possessions and power will become irrelevant to humanity and will cease to exist in the new reality unless they adopt the ways of humanity's new direction. All lies and deceit will be known and detested. All who exist by malicious device or intent will voluntarily cast away from society. The Mayan calendar has marked February 2012 as the final month of our physical consciousness. At that time, we will no longer be captives of earthly consciousness. We will have evolved into a universal consciousness. whereby we become fully aware of all creation and our place and purpose within it. Mankind has the capability of destroying the planet. That capability brings responsibility. Worldwide awareness of environmental pollution and global genocide brought on by the wicked and ruthless governments, corporations, and the apathy of all who live and work in them are being unmasked and condemned by those of an ascending consciousness. The crimes of these institutions and people who are apparent, who are a part of them, are being revealed, and their punishment and ruin is soon to be inevitable as the collective soul of humanity evolves into universal consciousness. Regardless of the Mayan calendar, its accuracy, and ingenuity, we can see the prediction coming into fulfillment. Just as I am writing these words, scribes before me carved their thoughts on stone. Cave dwellers painted their thoughts on cave walls. Survival for our predecessors was an instinctual concern, evolving into a family and tribal concern, then into a national concern. Now survival has become a global concern, even a galactic concern, affecting our solar system and countless other yet unknown life forms. Only a fool or a very young child can still believe that he can separate himself from the global reality. Each individual has a completely unique point of view based on his or her experience. However, that experience is still connected to other shared experiences. Reality as we know it is a shared experience. Our knowledge is primarily a shared knowledge. So our consciousness is also a shared consciousness, which has synergistically evolved over time. I have learned of the Mayan calendar from several sources, which learned their information from other sources, which learned directly from the Mayans. The Mayans state that they were told how to construct their calendar by God, the creator of the universe. Shared knowledge today is instantaneous via print, television, radio, satellite, and internet communications. Soon, according to the Mayans, all information and all understanding will become intuitive as humanity evolves into its last stage of creation and embraces the universal mind. Our physical reality will be obsolete, as will our physical necessities. All systems within this current physical reality we now exist in will be useless to us. All power will be within the individual to use for the advancement and betterment of humanity. A simple human thought will manifest into the realization of the fulfillment of one's immediate need or desire to be used for the betterment of the universal community. Evil intent will no longer exist. The Mayans state the end time is not to be feared, but to be looked forward to. It is to be celebrated as the end of human suffering and war and all evil in the universe. The Mayan end time is 2012 and is stated to be the end of humanity's physical evolution and the beginning of its spiritual reunion with our Creator. The Mayan advice is not to fear what will occur, instead to understand it and allow ourselves to adapt to the rapidly advancing changes by using our intuition and integrity to guide us into the future. I know that's a lot to grab, and it was for me, actually. But it was a compilation of many, of several previous essays, as well as an understanding that I developed over the years of what I've of so much of what I've read, studied, been taught about what to expect for the future. And unless humanity strives for the goals of a brother, brotherhood, the goals of spiritual enlightenment, then there's no hope for us. There is no hope. All there is a negative, down, deep down destruction of everything that we are and the obliteration of humanity as we know it, or as it is, or ever could be. I, for one, don't believe that. I know too much. I've known too many. I've seen too many things to believe that this is the end time of humanity. Now, humanity, as we know it, survives. It survives even after death. It survives in spirit and goes forward and goes on and goes on and goes on. And that is what makes us immortal. That is our immortality. Our children, our children's children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and so on, have, you know, create this world and create the link to us. But for those of us who do not have offspring or whatever, we have our work, we have our lives, we have our deeds, we have our whatever we do, which influences others, to the good or to the bad, unfortunately, or fortunately. Because when people are remembered through history, they're either remembered as horrible villains or remembered as saints. And we all have that ability to become one or the other. And in these end times, that pathway, or those pathways, I should say, will develop into highways. And there will be those of us who want to achieve enlightenment and the greatest gifts that God can give, and to become co-creators with the universe and to reach our highest and most best possible joy in existence, okay, and immortality. And there are those who can't even fathom that, you know. Or if they can, they would rather choose a life of darkness, of sensual gratification, of a third dimensional power, if you will, a third dimensional whatever. And the problem with the third dimension is everything in the third dimension dies. Everything has its life and dies. And those of us who believe in the immortality of the spirit will never die. This is what the prophets stated. This is what Christ stated, and Muhammad stated, and Buddha stated, and Zoroaster, and every single prophet or man, holy man, has ever stated was that we are of a different dimension. We are of a higher self. We are not these lowly slugs that, you know, exist in nothing. And there is a redemption there. There is a chance for salvation. There is a chance to rejuvenate our souls, to inspire our souls, to enlighten our souls, to become high spirits. All right? And these are things that we must understand about ourselves. We are who we think we are. Either we are good or we are bad. We know that in ourselves. We are either good people going striving for a higher and holy and enlightened existence, or we are criminals. We are thieves. We are the lowliest of life. We are murderers. We are rapists. We are molesters. We are, you know, we are these these addi- vibrations of our existence, the lowest vibrations, the lowest levels of our earthly existence, without any hope of redemption. But for those of you who are trapped, for those of us who are trapped within our addictions or our whatever we are trapped in, by understanding and holding on to the belief that we are spiritual beings, then we can leave this horrible nightmare of pain and suffering and misery and rise to a level far, far, far beyond our current imaginations, as long as we allow ourselves to ascend to that level of consciousness, which is here. It's now. It's where we are. October 28th is the end of this Mayan calendar period, merging into 2012. All right? But in October 28th of this year, there'll be an alignment of four planets between us and the sun. And that will pull us. That will, and we're also entering a, we're also experiencing the effects of a highly electromagnetically charged cloud. That's, and this is proven by NASA. This is, I've mentioned it a number of times in our programs, that this is coming, and we're emerging, or merging into our solar system. It's affecting the heat of the sun. It's affecting the Earth's crust. It's affecting our own electromagnetic devices. It's affecting everything that we know, and it will. In 2012 and 2013, between those years, it'll be a remarkable time, not only in the physical sense of things we'll be experiencing, but also in the emotional and intellectual time that we'll be in a survival mode. But we will be in a period that's never, ever been created before in mankind. One that will allow us to transcend. I say this again, transcend dimensions. We'll be able to rise to the next dimension, which is the fourth dimension. Many of us right now are crisscrossing constantly into the fourth dimension, or actually live within that dimension already. For those of you listening to this program, you probably already know that. You know that you're different. You know that you know what's coming. You know, you know that you're not the same as other people. But in many ways you are. And you have the right, and you have the responsibility to, as an apprentice or journeyman or master in the Brotherhood, as a member of the Brotherhood of mankind, you have the responsibility to help your fellow man see the light, see the redemption, see the way to a higher and better life, and a way that to activate, you know, show them the way that it, to activate that part of the mind and spirit that will generate an eternal well-being for that individual, a spiritual well-being for that individual. Kind of strange. I don't know really whether they're how to go on this, continue on this subject without being redundant or preachy, which I really don't want to be. All I wanted to do tonight is to explain, or actually I wanted to present this material to you since it will be in the book, and maybe it will pique your interest in buying the book as it comes out. Again, it will be offered by Open Books Publishers, and it will be in an e-book form. It will be very affordable, and it will be available internationally for those of you who are listening to this program from other countries. And it will only be, I believe the price on it will only be $6.99 American dollars, you know, which are getting worth less and less and less as we progress through this year and next. But so it makes it a better deal for everybody, except for the publisher and me and myself. But nevertheless, if you're interested, that's what it will, I believe, be. And we'll be promoting a lot of this book in the next coming in the upcoming weeks and next month. And you'll hear about it on our show here, and you'll see it. It'll be available on Amazon and available through all the major, and Kindle and, you know, Nook and all of these. And, of course, you can download it right onto your PC. But I guess what I wanted to express tonight is that I have a vision for our future, as well as you may have a vision for our future, those of you who are listening tonight. And I hope that in some way that vision coincides with one another and connects with one another, and because that's basically what is supposed to happen. We, who are the future, are the people who create the future, who have the foresight, who have the imagination and the vision to create a future for themselves and for their society, for their world. How we want to see it, how we see the world, is how it will be. And that's why there are so many powers trying to manipulate our consciousness, trying to manipulate the vision so that that vision becomes their vision and that you become a slave to them, you know, the corporate media, all right, and how they explain, you know, the vision of the future, which is riots and mayhem and money and inflation and deflation and, you know, just a moral bankruptcy and, you know, just, you know, who wants that? Nobody wants that, except the powers that be who are making billions upon trillions of dollars by manipulating the emotions and the visions and the imagination of those they influence, right? And I'm saying to you, and I believe that those who are listening tonight are of the same spirit that I am. So I'm not preaching to you. I'm simply asking you to stop listening to them. Turn off your television and your radio. Turn off everything that's mainstream media. Turn on alternative sources of news. Turn to the internet. Seek wisdom and knowledge that way. Find your knowledge through other ways, and trust your intuition, trust your integrity, and trust in the integrity of those that you already believe have integrity. But by all means, don't trust the mainstream media. Don't trust the government. Don't trust the bankers. Don't trust the people. people that have gotten us into this mess and are leading us into one world kind of oppressive tyranny. Do not allow that to happen. And as you see the world systems collapsing, the financial system, governments, one government after another, being taken over by the people, by a democratic uprising of the people who are furious at their oppressive governments, furious, and who believe that they know better how to run their lives. People want food. They want happiness. They want safety of their family. They want friendship. They want love. They want these things. They don't want pain and suffering and misery and poverty. So if you envision the best that humanity can be, and envision for yourself a world better than the one you now have, then it will be. And if a massive billions and billions of people around the planet can envision the same vision, the same collective vision of the very, very best of humanity, then humanity will rise to that level. Because we have the ability, we have the inherent ability to be anything that we wish to be, as long as we are allowed to be it. And I say allowed. We are allowed. We have that freedom. We can become anything we want to be. We can, as long as we can attain the knowledge and attain the freedom to gain that information, right? And that is what we're striving for, and that's what we want as a society, so that all human beings can rise to a level of spiritual consciousness and awakening never before known in that's where we'll be. I wanted to end tonight with an essay that I wrote that'll be in the book. Actually, it should be the first essay in the book. And it's entitled The Radical Soul. I wrote this back in 2004, and it's still on my website, laschoolshow.org. And I'll try to finish tonight with this. Something makes a radical radical. I haven't identified that certain attribute or detriment to the radical character yet. As I see more injustice and abuse of power and starving, crippled, homeless misery of millions, billions of people around the planet, I get angry and feel the need to do something about correcting the wrongs I see. I have discovered that it is a whisper from the soul that stirs me. A silent surge of emotion creates a tear. It makes me angry enough to swear at the television news commentator or videotape sound bites of George W. Bush and virtually every American politician. I think radicals are born, not made. I believe a radical has always been radical in his worldview. He or she cannot accept that things that are unjust or hurtful to humanity or other inhabitants of the planet. Some radicals are violent, but most famous and most effective radicals were nonviolent. I believe many people are born radicals. They become the men and women and children who refuse to bend to the will of nature or suffer the indignity of physical or mental abuse and demand just retribution. A radical is anyone who will correct courageously fight back against anyone or anything they determine is a wrong against them or others. As a radical, I weigh my opinions, my options, and interests and willingness before I take action. Will I go to the courts? Will I write letters to a company's president or to a government officials? Will I storm the Capitol building? I am still trying to decide how radical I really am. I think I am like others who are waiting for their soul's whisper to turn into a shout or a scream. Until we can no longer sit still or remain silent as the scale of injustice, the scale of justice is breaking under the weight of injustice. And this is a quote by Henry David Thoreau in Civil Disobedience. If the injustice has a spring or a pulley or a rope or a crank exclusively for itself, then perhaps you may consider whether the remedy will not be worse than the evil. But if it is of such a nature that it requires you to be the agent of injustice to another, then I say break the law. Let your life be counter-friction to stop the machine. What I have to do is to see, at any rate, that I do not lend myself to the wrong which I condemn. And that was by Henry David Thoreau, that quote. But understanding what it takes to be a radical with the world is suddenly be a wow, I'm a radical, you know. It's like you didn't know it. But you do know it now. You do know it. I still have 5 minutes or so to the program. I don't know if I can do this one. It's a rather short essay, but I'll try this one. This is the next essay in the series. It's called The Cause and Effects of Independent Activism. I have been an independent activist most of my adult life. I have chosen my battles carefully after much research and validating my heartfelt commitment to a cause or to an injustice. I do not take my involvements lightly, and I try to understand the motivations of both sides of an argument before I take my own stand on an issue. I have spent great amounts of my personal time and money producing a weekly television program and radio program to try and inform and expose the issues for what they are. I have done documentaries on nuclear power plants and adult entertainment industry, environmentally safe energy producing alternatives, Washington, D.C. peace rallies, and local and statewide protests. I was campaign manager for a Connecticut gubernatorial candidate in 2002 and the only independent producer invited to film the 2002 Democratic State Convention and interview the candidates and the delegates. I promoted my candidate, though I maintained my political independence to any party. My candidate stood for the people of Connecticut and was the only candidate to publicly denounce John Rowland as a criminal, and his Republican administration is completely corrupt. Our indictment of John Rowland proved to be valid, and he recently resigned as governor and served a prison sentence. In March of 2003, I began my weekly radio program on Q103. I was one of the few and only liberal talk shows in Connecticut and the only consistent voice on commercial radio in New England that vehemently, publicly attacked G.W. Bush's policies and the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. The LA Steel radio show preceded Air America by more than a year. I withstood personal attacks and inability to gain private or commercial sponsorship because I continued to attack the sacred cows of conservatism and condemn the Bush administration for their dictatorial policies and criminal actions. My program, though heard only in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and upstate New York, has attracted a major journalist, authors, activists from around the country. I have done all this as an independent producer without financial support from any foundation or corporation. The effect of my work have been numerous and have aided, inspired, and encouraged other national, statewide, and local activists and organizations. My listeners have supported many of the causes and have bought the books of the authors I have featured. Countless numbers of people have been affected both positively and, in the case of corrupt politicians, negatively by my efforts. I urge all who read this, to join or get involved with the movement that serves to bring justice, freedom, or social and environmental changes for the betterment of humanity. Individuals can topple governments, create new institutions, educate the world, create the next great invention, create the peace plan for the Middle East, or create a crime watch organization in their neighborhoods to help the homeless in their town or cities by volunteering or donating money, or simply by acknowledging a homeless individual as a fellow human being in need of kindness and compassion. And I want to say that we're just about near the end of the show, and I have two more paragraphs to go here, so I'm going to read them quickly, but if I end, please check out my archives for this show. The effect of all independent activists around the globe has inspired change and revolutions. The causes independent activists take on are many and diverse, but it is through these committed men and women who feel the need to fight against and expose the corruption and injustice in their societies that the education of the masses is achieved. Activists fight against the indifference, cynicism, ignorance, and hatred of all who try to drown their voices of concern against injustice, genocide, and devastation to the global ecosystem. Activists are the frontline soldiers who cry out the alert and stand guard against the onslaught of predators intending to harm a sleeping citizenry. Activists are arrested and routinely censored by those who sponsor corporate terrorism and torture and systematic murder of millions of helpless people and the extinction of countless animals and vegetation around the globe. Human rights activists, animal rights activists, and environmentalists are noble and concerned individuals who are worthy of great respect. I am an independent activist because I cannot identify fully with most groups who eventually develop agendas that are either overly expansive or ambitious or dangerously combative or non-combative. I prefer my own pace of action. I prefer to choose my own causes to promote and become concerned with. But I highly encourage anyone to join a concerned citizen group. Help these good and brave people who put their principles ahead of their own personal safety, because they cannot help themselves from shouting out against the wrongs that they see. An independent activist like me lives by his own code of justice, as do all individuals who care about their fellow men. We are like the Lone Ranger or Batman or some other ideal avenger who dreams of a better world and hopes that in some way we can make that dream come true. And with those words, I'll end this show tonight. And I want to thank everybody who's listened. And if you like the program, please come back and re-listen to it or forward it to your friends. Or send it around and tell people about it. I hope I hope you enjoyed it. And I wish that, and I hope that everything will, I hope that people might get a copy of my new book coming up in September. I believe it's going to be called Naked at the Mic. We're not certain that that'll be the title, but it'll be announced. And, but you've heard a number of my, you've heard my last, the last part of the book. And there'll be another 40 essays in that book. So, I hope that you look forward to getting it. And, I want to thank everybody and wish you a pleasant evening. We don't have a program tomorrow, I believe, but we'll be back next Tuesday. So good night.